Rabbi, can you just say who the Minchas Chinuch was before you get into it?
I would start with who is the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch does not ever in any of the manuscripts betray who he is. He just tells us that he's a Levi in a few of the mitzvahs. He tells us that his name is Aharon in a few of the mitzvahs. And he's talking to his son. So from some of the information gathered, considering the fact that he calls Ramban his personal Rebbe, the scholars seem to say that he is Rav Aharon of Barcelona, also known as the Ra'ah, Rav Aharon Halevi. So that's one thing that would put him in the 13th century, the late 13th century. And the Minchas Chinuch was rather contemporary. His last name was Babat. In fact, there's a shtibel on the west side named after him. The shtibel is called the Minchas Chinuch shtibel, or the Babat shtibel.
Huh.
So that's rather recent. His work, we'll get to know over time, was not meant to be a halachic work, although very often it asks questions not raised in the poskim, and he often dismisses a discussion by saying, "You'll find this in the Rambam and Tosfos. Go look there." And he really is quite a bit of pilpul of a lot of the Gemara is not halacha l'maisa, but here he asks a lot of questions that haven't been on the table for us in thousands of years. Chatzi Evet, Chatzi Ben Chorin, things like that. So we'll get into all these in good time. But Mitzvah's Piri of Arivia is a tiny little treatment in the Sefer HaChinuch. It's just about 10 lines, the entire treatment in the original. And the Minchas Chinuch has page after page after page of discussion on the mitzvah. So what I would like to do is today I only gave a few sources, mostly psukim. What I'd like to do is to just trace that very question, because the Sefer HaChinuch starts off with the words, Yesh ba mitzvah saseh achas, vehi mitzvahs piri of Arivia, shnemar, there's one mitzvah in this pasuk, but the problem is that the pasuk doesn't sound like a mitzvah. The pasuk sounds like a bracha. A mitzvah would be vayitzav Hashem, vayitzav osam elokim, vayomer lahem elokim pruvu. God commanded them to be fruitful and multiply. It looks like a bracha, not a commandment, and the command is really quite nebulous. It could be that this command changed from the time God spoke it to early man to what we're supposed to do today. And this, I'm taking a gadon now, because there's a fascinating statement made in Chazal that because the as a result of the sin in the Gan, God told Chava all kinds of pains that she would have in carrying the child, in bearing the child, in being Nida and other things like that. That all of these things were not meant to be, if not for the sin. Now I know the anthropologist is going to have a big problem with that, but I think that what I just said is an interesting explanation for why Chazal say the amazing point that women are not mitzuva in the mitzvah of Piri Varivia. So the obvious question is, what are you talking about? The woman is actually the one carrying this child for 9 months and bearing through all these pains and giving birth to the child, and you're telling me that she's not performing a mitzvah? So the answer is, of course she's performing a mitzvah. The point the Gemara makes in Yevamos, it's a machlokas, but the point that the Gemara makes in saying that a woman is not mitzuvah in Piri of Arivia is that if a woman does not bear a child, she's not doing an Aveira. If a man does not father a child, he is doing an Aveira. Okay? This also has an important nafkamina that's quite common if you own a pet. A man is, if he renders himself incapable of fathering a child that can be for any time in his life, he is considered the halachic equivalent of a mamzer. He may not marry a Jewish woman. He's called a petsua daka or a krus shofcha. A man who renders himself incapable of giving birth cannot marry a Jewish woman. As again, the halachic equivalent of a mamzer. A woman, however, is allowed to drink what in the ancient times was called a kos shel ekrin. A woman who renders herself incapable of conceiving is not violating the Torah. Okay? The same goes for animals. If you own a male dog, you're not allowed to render him, you're not allowed to spay that dog. You're not allowed to render him incapable of propagating his species. A female, you're allowed. Okay, so what do dog owners do? So the word out there is that you give him over and you don't give the command. And you give it to someone who's not Jewish. This would not work according to the opinion in the Gemara that Gentiles are also responsible for the mitzvah of Puravu, although it might be called something else, and animals as well. We Jews, and no human being has the right to render any living thing incapable of propagating its species. So, and that chiyuv goes on the male, not on the female. All right, so I return to what I said 5 minutes ago, that if a man does not father a child, he is violating his mitzvah saseh. A woman who does not bear a child is not violating a mitzvah saseh because she is not chayav. Of course, she's mekayim, the mitzvah. Right? I want to make sure everyone understands this, but the difference between a mitzvah chiyuvis and a mitzvah kiyumis. We will come across those terminologies in the Minchas Chinuch practically every week. A mitzvah chiyuvis, let's say for a man, is to wear tefillin every day, except for Shabbos and Yontif. A mitzvah kiyumis is if you have a house with a doorpost and a lintel, you have to put up a mezuzah. But there's no chiyuv to put up a mezuzah if you don't have a house. Or if you live in a cave, or if you move from place to place every 3 weeks, or something like that. You can go a whole life without putting up a mezuzah, and you didn't do an avera. Okay, clear? So for a man, puravu is a mitzvah chiyuvis. For a woman, it's a mitzvah kiyumis. Okay? Now, let me go one step further and say that God also commanded, after the flood story, I gave you this pasuk, it's Bereishis Perek Tes, pasuk Aleph. God commanded after the flood story, it says, Vayomer Elokim El Noach Ve'El Banav. And he says, Puravu. That's very strange, because when God gave the first mitzvah of Puravu, it says that Vayivarech, it says in the pasuk, Vayivarech Osom Elokim Vayomer Lohem Elokim Puravu. God told them, the man and the woman, I want you to reproduce. But when Noah left the ark, it just says, and God told Noah and his sons, I want you to reproduce. Bakiya's question? What's the only other time in the Torah where Hashem tells someone to be fruitful and multiply? It's a pella. It's in Parshas Vayishlach, where God tells Yaakov, I am El Shaddai, get this, Prey Urevei. He tells Yaakov, I want you, in singular, to be fruitful and multiply. What's with that? So I submit to you, let's hear what you have to say. The terminologies, be fruitful, multiply, are mentioned 3 times in Bereishis. Once to Adam and Chava, to both of them. Once to Noach, only to Noach and his sons. Once to Yaakov, only to Yaakov, not to his wives. Why the difference? Why did it change Now, remember what I said before about the anthropologist. The reason given in the Gemara for why women are not mitzuva on Piriya Verivya is because of the danger inherent, the pain involved. The Gemara felt that the Torah cannot command a woman to do something that was so dangerous and so painful. So now, bless you. So now do you see why to Adam and Chava the mitzvah was told to both of them? Because that mitzvah was written in chapter 1 of Bereishis. You get it? Before all those punishments that appear in chapter 3, the mitzvah of Piriya Verivya goes to both man and woman. But after that, whenever the Torah mentions the mitzvah, it's only two more times, whenever the Torah mentions the mitzvah, it is said only to the men leaving the ark and only to Yaakov. Of course, women are part of the mitzvah. That's quite obvious. Okay. All right. So let's. That is a machlokas, a dispute in the Gemara. In addition, the Sefer Achinuch writes. He says, "Mishor she mitzvah zu kedei she'olam yushav." God wants the earth to be populated. Ramban says a big chiddush in the story of the Migdal Bavel. It says in the story of Migdal Bavel that what their objective was, pen nafutz, lest we be scattered around the land. We want to have one central place. Ramban says, not like Rashi, because Rashi says that the problem is that they wanted to fight against God. That's a drash. Ramban finds something that already violates God's directive, where God said, "Pru urvu umil'u et ha'aretz." God wants yishuv. God wants his world to be populated. And therefore, there is an additional mitzvah that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu in Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Yud Ches. And the Pasuk refers to a mitzvah known as Losheves Yitzara. God wants the whole earth to be populated, which means that it must be populated by Gentiles as well. Okay, therefore, according to many halachists, a Jewish doctor is not allowed to perform an abortion on a non-Jew either, unless it's for health reasons. Because you're violating Loshevis Yitzara. You're preventing this populated addition to the world. Okay? I don't want to get into any of the politics of this. But it's, you know, if we're not allowed to render an animal incapable of procreating, you know, what does that mean for people? Okay? Again, I must stress, if it's for a health issue, a doctor says that this is necessary for health reasons, whatever that reason may be, everything's on the table, of course, right? So that is known in the halacha as Loshevis Yitzara. And the fact that this was considered, that the Sefer HaChinuch just writes, it's mitzvah gedola shebesibasa miskayemos kol ha-mitzvos ba'olam. This is the first mitzvah, and it's the main mitzvah, which is why Evan Ezer starts with these halachos. Siman Aleph are the rules of Puravu. Okay, so let's get into some of this, and then we'll do some of the points of the Minchas Chinuch. Okay, first of all, the Minchas Chinuch mentions some agadot of alternatives found in Chazal that are not just midrashic in nature. They are, for instance, if someone adopts a child, if someone teaches a child, the halacha is very well aware that nebuch, some people try and don't succeed. There are many ways that what people do is they'll send a donation to an adoption agency or to an orphanage or something like that. The Rambam's Lashon in this mitzvah is very instructive. It is as follows: Chayav adam laasok b'mitzvas piriya v'rivya ad sheyesh yehelo ben ubas. A person must involve himself in the mitzvah of piriya v'rivya until he has a son and a daughter. Do you hear some extraneous lashon here, Chevra? I say it again. Chayav Adam la'asok b'mitzvas peri v'rivya ad sheyesh lo ben u'bas. Can you simplify that a little bit? Why not just say Chayav Adam l'holid ben u'bas? Join. Right? So, in order to bolster what the Minchas Chinuch says about this Rambam, let me direct you to one or two Gemaras with which you may be familiar. For instance, the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that immediately upon dying, we're asked six questions. The six questions are based on the same pasuk in Yeshayahu that teaches the Shisha Sidre Mishnah. And the one that teaches Noshim, right, Chosen, the Gemara says, Osakta Beperi Verivya? We better have a good answer, either by being successful in it, or by one of these alternatives, right? Okay? So, but the question again, I beg the question, why did the Gemara say that the question is going to be Osakta Beperi Verivya? The question should be, did you have a son and a daughter? Simple. What do you mean Osakta Beperi Verivya? Another point that's similar, that's just it's just redirecting the same point, is there's a Gemara Brachos Daf Yud that says that Hashem was very angry with Chizkiyahu, and he said, you're going to die. Meisa Tavlo Tichy, he was only 39 years old. And Chizkiyahu asked Yeshayahu in the Medrash, why, what did I do wrong? I've been very positive. So Hashem says, Ki lo asakta b'peri v'rivya. How did the Gemara know that? Because Chizkiyahu died at the age of 54, and the king who ruled after him, Menashe, was only 13. Do the math, Chevra. When he was 39, he didn't have children. What kind of king doesn't have children at the age of 39? Right? Okay, so, and he had children afterwards. So, it's only after this, the Gemara says that he foretold that his son would be a Rosha, so Hashem said, you just do your part. You do your part. You have your child and let God do his part. Right? So, but here, once again, the rub is, why does it say, Loma lo asakta beperi v'rivya? Right? Why not Loma lo holada tabonim? So the Minchas Chinuch wants to make a diuk in these Lashonos that the mitzvah is not to have a child. There is no mitzvah to have a child. That's going to sound startling from what I just read in the Sefer HaChinuch. The mitzvah was only to have a child before the sin in Gan Eden. That because it was a bracha. The mitzvah to have a child is a mitzvah to try to have a child. Something has to take place in between. Not to mention conception and good health and nurturing, etc., etc. That's with God's help. Of course, we have to maintain good health during that time. Of course, but it's just the asek. You do your part. Let God do His part to make this a viable living child. Okay, so that is the diuk in asek. Lama lo asakta b'peri v'rivya. The mitzvah is to do the asek. Leave it up to God to make it into a living being. Then we have the Agadot that speak about other alternatives that are found in Chazal. That, for instance, if you raise a child, if you adopt a child in your home, then it's as if though you gave birth to that child. If you teach a child, it's as if though you gave birth to that child. Most of these are collected in the Gemara in the second parak in Maseches Sanhedrin, that explains why in Divrei Hayamim Moshe is called the son of Bitya, even though he was the son of Yocheved, because Bitya raised him. So he's known as the son of Bitya. And then the Gemara describes Michal Bat Shaul, who also helped to raise her sister Merav's children, and therefore she's called the mother of their her sister's children. So you get the picture. Okay? All right, now the Sefer HaChinuch says Dinei HaMitzvah. So Masai Chayav Adam LaSokba, the Kama Banim Yehiyah Lo VYipater. So here, there's a Mishnah in Maseches Yevamos that says that you need to have two boys, according to Beis Shammai, and a boy and a girl, according to Beis Hillel. Can I just ask, just your first gut feeling, is one of these a Chumrah and one of these a Kula? And if so, which one? And do they essentially disagree? In other words, would Beis Shammai say that you don't fulfill Peruvua, the boy and the girl? Would they say that you fulfill it with two girls? Why does Beis Shammai say two boys? If every human being would have two boys, we would all die out in one generation. So what is Beis Shammai saying? All right, so you have to see the Gemara. This is a technicality. Beis Shammai says that if there is a mitzvah to have two children and it's a boy and a girl, then what is it, Aaron?
Mitzvah to have two children is boy and, you know.
I'm sorry, I called on you because I thought you were giving the answer. Because then Moshe would have been missing the mitzvah because he only had two. In other words, that Moshe would never have decided when God came to him suddenly, or the angel came to him suddenly on his way back from Egypt after his second child was born, that it's time for me to leave my wife. That's when it seems that he left her, because she obviously went with him to Egypt, but when the whole story is over, she's with her father. He must have sent her back. He realized that God comes to me at any time, and if I'm not prepared because I'm with my wife, but there if I'm alone, you get it, hint, hint, Rashi says. He was intimate with his wife at the moment. And God came to him, and he wasn't ready. And that's why it says that he was, you know, put into a trance until his wife got the picture and realized what to do. All right? So the bris of their son had something to do with also, but be that as it may, Moshe could only do that because he had already fulfilled this mitzvah, because he had two sons. So the Mephoshim discuss whether Beis Hillel is more machmir than Beis Shammai. Because Beis Shammai would certainly agree that a boy and a girl could fulfill this mitzvah. Everybody holds. He just wants to keep Moshe in the fold. It doesn't mean that a boy and a girl doesn't fulfill the mitzvah. But most poskim hold that according to Beis Hillel, if you don't have replacement, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah. Okay? Which makes the whole world ask the shaila that the Minchas Chinuch asks, which is, why wasn't this Mishnah, therefore, it's Mishnah Yevamos, listed in amongst the Mishnahs in Maseches Eduyot that list all the Chumras of Beis Hillel? You get the question?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's that we have to leave a male and a female descendant, but it could be the daughter of a son. You get it? Now, how does one know that those two sons are going to have a daughter? Maybe those two sons are going to only have sons.
Maybe somebody else had two daughters.
Yeah, but it's the mitzvah is to leave descendants to take your place, and your couple, you're the top of your family tree, and you have to make sure at least that the two people at the top are replaced before your own demise.
Rabbi,
yes.
So what does that mean for when you talked before about, you know, you leave the rest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So if a child is born, male and a female, let's say, and one of them passes away,
yeah,
how does that?
We talked about the alternatives before. It has to be that in order to mekayim this mitzvah, when the individual leaves the earth, there has to be a male and a female descendant. To fully mekayim this mitzvah, according to Beis Hillel, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, for sure, and according to the Evan Ezer and Siman Aleph,
descendant including grandchildren.
Right. Son, the okay. Son will have a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said before that there are alternatives to the fulfillment of this mitzvah that are found in Chazal.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be done by making a shidduch. It could be done by helping an orphanage or adopting or other things like that. And I don't mean that just to be fancy. It's really the post can actually say this. based on those agadot in the second parak in Sanhedrin. Okay, so on this, the Mefarshim say that it has to be that you leave children who are capable of propagating themselves. In other words, this Minchas Chinuch spends an inordinate amount of time on whether a tumtum and an androgynous fulfills this mitzvah. So the Sefer Chinuch, the Minchas Chinuch say they don't, because they have to themselves be capable of propagating and continuing. Okay. All right. So I know there's more pilpul to have on this, but let me tell you an astonishing new point that the Minchas Chinuch raises. He makes a klal that the person that we have to leave in on the earth in before we our demise, the two people that we have to leave on the earth have to be, get this, listen to this klal, an issue from our loins for which our widow, after we're no longer here, would not have to do yibum or chalitza, because we left those people behind. Okay, now you're going to say, wait, what are you talking about? Just say a child, a son or a daughter. Not so fast. What's the nafkamina here? Okay, so let me get you started. And let me say it again. If a person dies childless, his widow is up for yibum or chalitza, right? Right, okay, you all with me? You'll know what that is, right? Okay. So if that child that potters the woman from, releases her from the need for chalitza or yibum, it has to be a child that fulfills this. So you're going to say, what child doesn't fulfill this? So let me ask you this question. If a man has an adulterous affair and gives birth to a mamzer, what do you think, this august group? What do you think? Does he fulfill puravu with that mamzer or not? Aaron?
That's a great question. I'm going to say, well, I was coming at it from the yibum or the chalitza angle, where
okay, does the mamzer
the purpose is to stand up the name of the deceased.
Good.
So I'm thinking that maybe a mamzer wouldn't stand up the name of the deceased.
Okay. The halacha is that a mamzer is Jewish. A mamzer can be counted the minyan. The restriction on a mamzer is that he can't marry a Jewish woman. Right? So the halacha sides, it's machlokas in the Gemara, in Vamas and Kedushin. The Gemara sides with the fact that a mamzer does fulfill puravu, and a mamzer does pater the mother from yibum. If this man who died outside of this mamzer childless, this mamzer does indeed release the not his mother necessarily, but the wife of his father from when he died from the mitzvah of yibum or chalitza. Okay, so then that just begs the question: How can we? Is a mamzer chayev in this mitzvah too? A mamzer is Jewish. A mamzer has to do all the mitzvahs. And he has to fulfill a mitzvah that no one else on this wonderful group listening to me can fulfill, because he has a lo sase that none of us have, right? His lo sase is he's not allowed to marry a Jewish woman, right? There's no man listening to me who has such a mitzvah, right? So how can, if he's not allowed to marry a Jewish woman, how are we obligating him on this mitzvah? He has to keep all the mitzvahs. One of the mitzvahs has a very strong impediment, which he can't marry. So how is he performing this mitzvah? So can someone give the simple answer?
Well, simple answer is it doesn't have to be a Jewish child to...
Not so fast. Because a man who had a non-Jewish child does not release his wife from Yibam or Chalitza in the Gemara. It's crazy because a non-Jewish child fulfills the Sheves Yitzara, but according to Halacha in the Gemara, it doesn't fulfill Puravu.
Can he father a non-Jewish child and then the child and the mother convert?
Absolutely, but he can do better than that. He can marry a Jewish woman if she is
a mamzeres.
Mamzeres, yes. Okay. Sorry to say that. That's now the Gemara at the end of Kiddushin does talk about how to cleanse a mamzer. There's very, very few mamzerim today because from the Gemara Nivamas, Aaron, we did this Gemara in Perek HaOrel about 4 or 5 years ago at Rabbi's, if you recall. The Gemara spoke about being metahar a mamzer, and that any tiny suffik, because in order to really prove mamzerus, you have to really see, you know, kimakol b'shoferes, any tiny suffik, and even an admission does not necessarily create mamzerus. Any suffik mamzer is not a mamzer. So, all right, so you'll see it's a very rare situation. Fine. But the Gemara speaks about how to metahir a mamzer. The question is, are we allowed to do this today when slavery is outlawed? Right? Because what you can do is sell him as a slave and
marries a shifcha or something.
Marries a shifcha, and then the child is an eved, and then
free him.
The child, at least, it can be freed, and then the child is converts and now is fully Jewish and can marry a fully Jewish woman. He's not helped, but he can bear a child who is Jewish with no restrictions. There are modern poskim who ask this now that the law of the land. Maybe you can go to a country where the slavery is allowed and do this formality and quickly take care of things. Anyway, I'm just putting it out there that this is how the Minchas Chinuch discusses it. He says, how can a mamzer has to keep all the mitzvahs of the Torah? A mamzer can be counted in the minyan. A mamzer can become the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir. In fact, he gets more kavod if he's a Talmud Chacham than a Kohen Gadol who's an Amoritz. You know the mission, right? In Horius. So the problem is, if you're not letting him marry a Jewish woman, and the mitzvah of Puravu is only with a Jewish woman, how is a mamzer supposed to fulfill this mitzvah? The answer is with a mamzeris, or a shifcha, for that matter. Okay? All right, so that is now there's another question that one can ask
in my hypothetical, if he marries, if he fathers a non-Jewish child and then the child and the mother convert, retroactively he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah. Is that the point?
That's a machlokes, Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish in the Gemara. It's about, the Gemara has about machlokes in 4 or 5 different directions, one of which is, for instance, a woman who gave birth as a non-Jew and then converted with her child afterwards, and then gave birth as a Jew. Now, Lamaisa, that second child does not open her womb. Her womb has been opened. Does that second child after her conversion now require a pidyon haben? Or maybe less complicated than that would be a man who converted with his sons, and then after his conversion got married and had other sons. Are those other sons his bechor, the nachala, or do, you know what I'm saying? Does that other son need a pidyon haben? Right. Well, that's not totally in him. It's totally in the mother. But the Gemara discusses all these things. It's a machlokes Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, and the dispute goes through and through. One holds that the children that they had before they converted are not counted in this cheshbon, and the other one holds that they're always counted. I would ask one more question that the Minchas Chinuch asks on this topic is, how can someone fulfill Puravu by giving birth to a mamzer? The Gemara says unequivocally that's not even a machlokas. When it sounds like a mitzvah habab avera, how can creating a mamzer is a very serious avera. It means you either committed incest, or you committed adultery with a married woman. So how does that fulfill a mitzvah? You hear? So on this, in the very first mitzvah, although this concept, now the new Minchas Chinuchs have these great indices in the back. And the Minchas Chinuch discusses the concept of mitzvah haba b'avera in about 50 different mitzvahs. He's amazing. So he starts to give some of the parameters of mitzvah haba b'avera in order to explain how a man can fulfill the mitzvah of Puravu by giving birth to a mamzer, by fathering a mamzer. Okay? Because at the time that child is born, the avera has been committed already. I'll give an example. If someone on Shabbos, the first night of Pesach, carried a box of matzah from outdoors into his house and violated Shabbos, right? There were no witnesses, there's no Beis Din, he's not going to get skila, whatever it is. But he violated Shabbos. He knew he violated. He wasn't even Bishogig, he was bemazed. He was embarrassed that he didn't have matzahs, and Imamish violated the Torah. And he brings the matzahs to his house. No one even knows. So I ask you, after he eats the matzahs, does he get the mitzvah of achilas matzah on Pesach? The answer?
Yes.
The following Yom Kippur, it's, you know, there's no Beis Hamikdash, there's no Onishim, there's no punishments, there's no Sanhedrin. On Yom Kippur, he'll do kapar, but he gets his mitzvah of matzah.
It's not really a mitzvah haba b'avera. They're totally separate things.
Yeah, because it's totally separate events. This man committed adultery 9 months later. He gave his fathered a mamzer. Also, imagine this. If someone, Nebuch, learned on Shabbos that his brother passed away, right? And he's very upset, and he starts to rip his jacket, and someone says, "No, don't do that. It's Shabbos. What are you doing? I can't help myself. I can't believe my brother." And he rips his jacket just on the right side where he's supposed to. He knows that halacha. And then he after Shabbos is over, he says, "I don't know what got into me. I was uncontrollable. I didn't know what I was doing." So he asks his local Orthodox rabbi the next day on the funeral, and he says, "Rebbe, do I have to do Kriya again?" What's the answer? Do we see each other? Camellia is correct. The Kriya is chal. Kriya is done. The only time that a Kriya is invalidated as a mitzvah bab avera is if you steal the garment to do the Kriya on the garment. Because every moment you hold that garment, there is an avera. You're violating l'hashivas ha-gozel. Every moment that there is navera in that garment. You see, it's the goof of the garment, as opposed to cutting the kriya on Shabbos. It's not in the goof of the garment. Okay, all right. This is all important points. The Sefer Chinuch, the Minchas Chinuch, will get into these inyanim again and again and again. Beautiful inyanim, and I'll bring them up all the time. It's also if you have see the lumdus in it. Have you heard of something called a mitzvah sasei doche lo sasei? So how could that ever happen? Shouldn't the losase be an avera that should undo the mitzvah? Why don't we say that the mitzvah of shatnez is an avera? So wearing the tzitzis with shatnez is a mitzvah above avera. You're doing the mitzvah through an avera. What? Right? So we'll hone this. All these questions are going to come up and add into the mix the really confusing the Gemara in the Nazir Daf Chav Gimel that talks about an avera lishma. An avera lishma is higher than a mitzvah shelo lishma. The Gemara says. Let's take a look. You'd be amazed on Daf Chav Gimel and the Sefer Nazir. Okay, so all right. So we see that a man can fulfill the mitzvah of Pirei Verivia by giving birth to a mamzer, even though it looks like a mitzvah bab avera, but it's technically speaking, it's not. Okay, but if someone stole flour and ground it and made it into a dough and then and baked that dough into a matzah, that would be like stealing the garment and doing kriya, as opposed to someone who and the there's a big pilpul on this. The Nogi Yehuda gets involved in this, and everybody considered. In the end, they all say that the mamzer giving birth to a mamzer is like the case of carrying the matzah and then eating it later for the matzah's mitzvah. Okay, all right. So here the Minchas Chinuch asks an interesting to you. It's a deep question. It's from what I said before. If a woman is not mitzuva in Piri Verivya, how can she ever do yibum? What's the kasha? Because this is why the beginning of Maseches Yevamos is your address in Shas for the Indian of Ase Docha Lo Sase. Look at the Daled Hey Vav, beautiful, such most amazing sugyas.
I'm a variety, right?
Yeah, because yibum is by definition a violation of arayos, a chiv kares, right? A man is not allowed to marry his brother's wife. It's a chiv kares. Marrying your sister-in-law is the same avera as marrying your sister in the Torah. They're both kares. Neither are Mises Beis Din, but they're both kares, right? Kares in itself is not enough to create a mamzer. Because neither is kares, neither is not considered gilei arayos. Right? If they say, sleep with your sister, I'll kill you, you know you're supposed to rather die than do that. If you say, sleep with this woman as a neither, I'll kill you, you don't die for that. That's not gilei arayos, even though it's kares. So Lamaisa, a man is not allowed to marry his brother's wife, but a woman is also not allowed to marry her husband's brother. Same kares on her, right?
Right,
there's only one or two cases in all of Gilui Arayos where the punishment is a little different. Bas Kohen, Shifra Charufa, but otherwise it's always equal. It's always the same. So if the man, the Gemara in Daf Dalet tells us very poshut, the mitzvah of Yibum punches out the mitzvah of Achos Isha. I'm sorry, Eisha Sachid. So this is why the Mishnah in Bechoros says mitzvahs chalitza kodemes, because they were already afraid in the time of the Mishnah, not just the Gemara, the time of the Mishnah, that maybe they weren't doing yibum l'shem shemayim, and we're left with the los asay without being a perfect punch out from the asay. Now, mind you, the Mishnah in Yevamos takes care of this. The Mishnah in Yevamos says that Yibam performed ba'ones, ba'rutzon, ba'mezid, ba'shoget. The Gemara gives all kinds of examples how this could possibly be. Right? You know what I'm saying? But the mitzvah of Yibam is performed yavama yavo aleho. It's not even with a marriage ceremony. Remember what it's called? The Chazal were misaking a marriage ceremony for Yibam, so we shouldn't take it lightly. But when the brother dies, it's called hikna lo min ha-shamayim. God made the shidduch by taking the brother before he had a chance to have children. So God made the shidduch. Now you're the brother's wife. You just go into his house. Finished. He takes over the ksuva. He inherits the brother. There are no children to inherit. Right? He inherits him alone. He doesn't share the inheritance with brothers or even a living father, who would usually come first before all brothers. Right? The mitzvah of yibum is performed bein ba'onis, bein b'rotzon, whatever it is. In Chazal, we're misake in this wedding ceremony. Remember what it's called, Chevra?
It's not yud. It's not...
Beis Shammai holds that it's mamish kone. We don't paskin that way. We say that it has to be bia. It's called maimer.
Maimer. Yes.
So Mamar is because at the end of Shir HaShirim it says she's called for, but you know, and she's spoken for. So we call it Mamar. I don't know. Some different explanations given for we call it that. But so we give there's a wedding ceremony for to make this new marriage. But the Gemara, the Mishnah in Bechoro says let's not do Yibam anymore. And in the Ashkenazi community we haven't been doing Yibam for close to two millennia. Some Sephardic communities still perform Yibam to this day, right? What if a brother would take the widow? Would he be violating the Torah today? He'd probably be violating the minhag, but certainly wouldn't be kares, as long as the brothers didn't have any children. Okay? Anyway, but so I get it. He's performing a mitzvah of Yibum. You'll see later in Parshas Kisetze, is a mitzvah for a man to marry his dead brother's widow. There's no mitzvah in the Torah for a woman to marry her dead husband's brother. Okay? So how can she do Yibum? She is saddled with the Los Aseh without the benefit of the Aseh. Okay, can anyone give a svara for why we allow this?
The Los Aseh is defined to exclude this particular situation.
Exactly. So the Sefer Chinuch says it very simply, is that if there is no inyan on his part for doing this, then there's no inyan on her part. The Torah is not, I mean, it can't second guess the Torah. Right? Okay, so he says, I'll just quote his words, it says, How can the bia be mutter to him but not to her? That's ridiculous. Right? Okay, so that is that's the din in the rest of the Minchas Chinuch really talks about he really belabors the point of Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, really quite a bit of Inyanim on the Minchas Chinuch takes up on that. So I'm usually going to skip those issues and. And now what I'd like to just close out on is the fact that this mitzvah is a long time in coming. Another answer you can give to this last question is that the actual bia is not the mitzvah. The bia is the hechsher mitzvah. Right? We don't know if this is going to end up fulfilling Pur Avu. That's in God's hands. Okay, so that is where we go with that. And I think that if you look at just some of Mefarshim, look at some of Mefarshim like Ibn Ezra, Sforno, look at some of the Mefarshim on the Lashon that appears in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, where it seems like. Even when Adam and Noah and his sons leave the Teva, it seems it sounds like a bracha more than a mitzvah. Okay, although all the Monet mitzvahs count this as the first mitzvah of the Torah. Okay, he says v'noheges b'chol makom b'chol zman b'chayav adam lishtadel ba mishehu ra'ui la. And he should the male should be involved in this as soon as possible. Okay. So Shemara Atzmo She'enu Rotzei L'Hashlim Chefetz Hashem Liyashev Olamo. You have a chance to be a partner with God. You're not taking it. So I want to close where I began, which is that. This is a mitzvah that it's a rarity. Usually, when we talk about doing a mitzvah, there's one way to do the mitzvah. You know, you can have a machlokas about the scope of the mitzvah, but there's you don't get credit for eating matzah by buying matzah for someone else, right? It certainly seems like a mitzvah shebegufo. How can I fulfill the mitzvah of Piri Verivya by supporting an orphanage or by making a shidduch or by any other thing like that? So it's really, we should all take to heart to try to work with shadchanos, to work giving people good advice about how to fulfill this. Another perush that you find in the Evin HaEzer of why women weren't commanded to period of Arivi is because a woman will naturally tend to this. A man needs to be commanded. If a man wasn't commanded, he may not do it. A woman's going to have the child anyway. this, I close with this, is that when Elkanah was talking to Chana in the beginning of the Torah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and he says, Chana, why are you so depressed? What are you worried? Look at her. So you're looking at Penina with all her kids. I'll take care of you. I'll be better for you than 10 sons. So he doesn't get it. You know, for him, it's like, who's going to look after me when I get old? Who's going to, you know, Penina has all these children. And so he tells her, don't worry, I left you an insurance policy that's going to take good care of you. Better than 10 sons would. Or maybe it's all about him. You know, she's worried. If you're worried that I don't love you enough because you didn't give me children, I couldn't love you more even if you gave me 10 children. However you understand what Elkanah was saying is that he doesn't get it. She wants to hold a child. And the fact is that for all the anger that was caused by Penina and all the bad feelings you see in the beginning of the story, she only took matters into her own hands after Elkanah said that. Because in the very least, it looks like he's given up hope by saying, I couldn't love you more if you had to. It seems like, don't worry, I'm okay with you not having children. And Chana says, I don't want you to be okay with me not having children. I want you to do everything together with me to make sure that I have children. Right? But that's when she took matters into her own hand. That's when she became Chana HaNeviya. Okay? All right, Chevra. Next week, we're going to do the Bris Mila in two parts because it's such a big treatment in the Minchas Chinuch on Bris Mila. Plus, it's in a few different places. He has a treatment here, and he has a treatment in, there's a discussion in Parshas Tazria. So I will be taking you to both of them. And it's a small treatment in the Sefer HaChinuch, but quite a larger treatment in the Minchas Chinuch. So Mitzvah Shem will do that next week. And we will sometimes be doing more than one mitzvah in a night. Like when we get up to the Pesach mitzvahs, we may be doing, you know, a few at a time. And we'll be keep going. I don't know if we'll finish the whole Sefer HaChinuch in 1 year, but it's a long Torah and a nice long. Hopefully, we won't have to be on Zoom during that entire time, but it's convenient, that's for sure. Okay, everybody, it's great to see you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good to see you, everybody.
Have a good night.
I have a question.
Good night.
Yes, good night. Yes, good night.
About the mitzvah of if you made a shidduch for somebody, you fulfilled the mitzvah?
Yes, yes.
When they have children, how many do they have to have? Or does it matter? Just because they got married, that's it.
That's an interesting side note. It would appear that the person who made the shidduch has a share in those children.
Nice, okay. Because that I know for my shidduch.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah, okay, thank you so much.
Okay.
Okay, good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye-bye, everyone.